Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
To the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Ennett, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome again to Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We come your way every week to talk about the Northwestern Wildcats, their latest game, and look ahead to what lies ahead for them. And so far, things are looking good for the Cats as they get set to head for Nebraska this weekend after a 19-0 shutout of the Purdue Boilermakers on Saturday in Evanston. And Dan, I think you and I sat here after that loss to Tulane to start the season. I don't know if either of us would have thought this team would now be 5-2 and one win away from a chance to go to a bowl game.
Probably not, right? But I think everybody needs to always temper their expectations either way after the first game, because, you know, teams just change and improve or get worse after week one. But yeah, I would put me in that bucket. I was like, I don't know if Northwestern's going to win a game this year. But they, credit to them, they've steadily improved, found an identity on both offense and defense, and I think they're really humming right now. And you know, the Purdue win was kind of a ho-hum, you know, no-nonsense win. It got a little sloppy at the end of the game, and we can get into some of that. But I thought it was another great performance, and they're really rolling now. And you look at the rest of their schedule, before it looked daunting, and now every game is a potential win in my mind. You know, it could certainly go the other way as well, but they're in a great position to compete, you know, for a chance to get to Indy. Need some things to fall their way with if Ohio State and Indiana went out. But, you know, they're in a great spot. And again, credit to them and their coaching staff for righting the ship after week one.
Yeah, 232 yards rushing against Purdue on Saturday. And that's sort of in keeping with the trend. And even though Caleb Komolafe had to leave the game with an injury, but of course he is going to play this week, and he did get his carries in, but this is really become a force for Northwestern, the ability to run the football and to shut down the other team's running attack.
Yeah, it's huge, right? Especially in a lot of away games like what they have coming up at Nebraska. You know, running game and the defense typically travels. And as you get into October, November, that becomes even more important. So it's a huge asset for Northwestern. And I'm still kind of amazed at the depth they have at running back. At, you know, losing Cam Porter was obviously a huge blow on the field and in the locker room, but, you know, they have three really talented guys. And I think my challenge to Coach Lujan is, how do you find a way to get, you know, all three of those guys more involved in creative ways, right? You know, Reeder comes in and he doesn't drop a beat, and he's, you know, chunking 15 and 20 yard gains. Obviously want to take away that fumble at the end of the game, but there's just so much talent there. So I wonder if he can, with Hyman and Deshaun, make, whether it's more speed sweeps or different ways to get the ball in their hands, because that room is just really talented.
Yeah, don't forget the other freshman too, Robbie Preckel, who's
right, yeah, exactly,
getting more and more carries.
Yeah, and he's just a different element, right? And you know, while Cam and Komolafe are, you know, strong runners, he's really in more in the mold of like a Mike Alstad and kind of a finisher in the fourth quarter. And that's exactly how they used him against Purdue. Again, you know, got a little bit sloppy towards the end of the game with turnovers. And I think Preston, you know, while he had one interception, probably could have had four if the Purdue defense doesn't drop a couple. So I think you got to be a little bit more careful there. The red zone, tight zone play calling, I think could, you know, use some improvement. But again, when the other team can't score, right, and going back to the fake punt, which I didn't really love that call from Coach Braun, but the defense continues to bail them out, right? So, you know, if you can hold people to 0 to 10 points, you're going to win a lot of games.
By the way, he said he didn't love it either after he made it. He loved it at the time. So
yeah, that's just one of those calls where, like, you have a team pretty much dead to rights. They haven't really moved the ball, you know, all half. And you give them one shot of momentum and the ball at midfield. If they go in there and score a touchdown, that completely changes the complexity of the game. So I don't really think that was worth the risk. And, you know, obviously Coach Braun agrees.
Listening to a Nebraska coach, Matt Rhule's news conference this week, he said what you and I and Ted have all been saying on the broadcasts is it seems like nobody really can cover Griffin Wilde.
Yeah, he's an impressive guy, and I think, you know, he's a veteran. He's crafty with his route running, and Coach Lujan does a really good job of getting him open, whether it's deep play actions, deep crosses, you know, speed outs, and him and Preston clearly have a lot of chemistry, right? And you know, he's had a couple drops here and there, but he's a very sure-handed and a bigger guy than he you know comes off as. When you watch the TV copy. So yeah, he's just, you know, a really crafty guy that Northwestern always finds a way to have. And, you know, on third downs and in the red zone, tight zone, you know, Preston always looks for him, and he seems to always be open, which is great news.
Let's talk about this defense a little bit. Northwestern's giving up 15 points a game, which is fifth fewest in the Big Ten. They're third down defense has been good for the most part. Their total defense, their upper half of the Big Ten in that, and 22nd in the nation, giving up 305 yards a game. And they seem like a really confident group no matter who's out there. That's what's really impressed me. If, you know, Josh Fussell had to miss a game or two, Damon Walters didn't play basically the first half of the season. Now he's back. You had other guys. I mean, Rob Fitzgerald looks like there's three of them out there, and Mac Uline has suddenly become a ball hawk in terms of interceptions. I mean, but the thing that's most impressive, Dan, we knew this defensive line was going to be good, but they took over that game. Even when Purdue hit some plays in the fourth quarter with Northwestern in control of the game, This defensive line just, they just kind of pinned back their ears and went after the Purdue quarterback, who, granted, they didn't expect to be playing the whole game like he did after Ryan Brown got hurt. But you have to be impressed by this defensive front.
Yeah, agreed. And it's really the depth. I mean, they're probably, what, 7-8 guys deep, yeah. Right? So when Saka goes down or somebody else goes down, they just kind of throw in a new shift, and they have a lot of energy, and they play hard and have gotten a lot of turnovers and made a bunch of big plays, right? So I think the thing, to your point, that's most impressive is really the depth on the front, and then the depth on the back half, right? The amount of guys that are talented in that secondary and nickel position just, you know, continues to impress me. And you know, the linebackers are who they are, right? And Rob Fitzgerald's had an unbelievable year, and he's kind of been all over the field. But Mac Uline and Brennan Bruss, you know, they've been unbelievably solid, right? And that's also after losing Karloftis for you know, hopefully he's back this year. I don't know if he's out for the season, but he's another guy that's made a ton of plays. So I think the one thing that's been really different about the Northwestern defense this year versus past years or when they've been talented in the past is just the depth, right? And they continue to gain confidence and execute. And frankly, you know, they've always been pretty good. It's the offense that has struggled the last couple of years. So when they see, you know, an offense starting to hum a little bit and running the ball and holding the ball for effectively the whole first quarter, they go out there, you know, fresh as a daisy and they're ready to rock. So yeah. It's been fun to watch them continue to improve throughout the season.
Yeah, we're going to talk with a member of that defense here in a moment, defensive lineman Michael Kilbane, who made his first start at Penn State a couple of weeks ago when Anto Saka was out. And all he does is find his way into the backfield on a pretty regular basis. Let's talk about special teams. They did give up a kick return of some distance on Saturday, but for the most part, the coverage has been really good. Luke Akers has been booming his kickoffs. Jack Olson's been making his field goals. They haven't had to punt a ton, but those have been good. And, you know, this is a game in which they're going to be tested because Nebraska does have very good special teams. But I think they ought to feel pretty confident about the way they've played that part of the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Jack had that late miss, but he's been pretty consistent all year after he came back from injury. So, yeah, it's a solid group, and Nebraska's tough, right? It's a tough place to play. But again, the thing that gives me confidence is the running game and the defense, right? You know, Nebraska, while they've played well, they've also had games where they've struggled or turned the ball over. And Raiola is a great quarterback, but he's not the most mobile guy in the world. So to your earlier point, if they can get Nebraska in third and longs and the defensive line can pin their ears back, you know, it could be a day where they make another huge impact.
All right, let's talk to a member of that defense. All right, now let's welcome in defensive lineman Michael Kilbane, number 47 for the Wildcats out of Lakewood, Ohio. 2.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss so far, tied with Mac Uihlein for the team lead on Saturday against Purdue. He had a sack, 3 quarterback hurries to lead the team that 1 week after making his first start at Penn State. Michael, thanks for joining us. As you guys get ready for Nebraska, you're coming off the first shutout this program has had since 2017. I know that's always a big deal for a defense. What did it mean to you guys to get it?
You know, it meant a lot. You know, I feel like there's a lot of games this year when we were, like, pretty close. Or, like, we had, like, about, like, 3.5 quarters where we felt like we were playing really good defense. But, you know, like, there's a little stretch where we weren't playing good defense in those games. But, you know, like, I feel like this is the first game we kind of, like, put it all together for the most part and, like, finally deliver the shutout that we, you know, always want to get.
Yeah, it's always it's a big lift for a defense when you do something like that. You first saw playing time in 2023. You played 8 games. What was that learning experience like? And what was going to a bowl game your first year like?
Yeah, you know, it was awesome. I mean, like, I feel like as a true freshman, like, when I first, like, started playing, like, I was, like, so, like, I was, like, scared a little bit. Like, not scared, but I'd say more nervous. Like, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, what-ifs I was in, like, that were in my head. But, you know, I think, like, the older guys on the team and my coaches really helped prepare me. Like, you know, I think they do a great job of preparing young guys to be able to step in early. And I think that was, like, a big thing that helped me out. But it was really cool, like, just to be able to, like, go in and play at like all the amazing Big Ten venues, and like being able to go to a bowl game my first year, that was awesome. You know, it was just great that I was able to like help contribute to the team like reach its goals for that year.
Well, you mentioned the older guys, and you've got a couple fellow Ohioans playing alongside you. You've played behind Aiden Hubbard, Najee Story. What have those guys meant to you, and how have they helped you along the way?
You know, it was really awesome. Aiden Hubbard was my official visit host. And so I've known him, like, since my junior year of high school. And Najee Story, he introduced me to Najee Story that day, too. So it was pretty cool to see, like, two, not only Ohio, but also just Cleveland guys, there, like, being, like, able to produce a young age at Northwestern. So it was really cool to see that. But then also just, like, I've grown really close with them off the field. And, like, just, like, having that relationship with them, I really feel like has helped me, like, not only become a better player, but become a better teammate.
Talking with Wildcat defensive lineman Michael Kilbane on Collegiately Speaking, I'm Dave Ennett. Michael, tell us a little bit about your high school days. 37 sacks in high school, a school record. Sounds like you have always had a knack for getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I feel like just, like, in high school, like I would say we were pretty like good, like a defensive unit. And we had a lot of good players. And I think like, just like, there's like a very similar like spirit of competitiveness, like that we have here, like in terms of like, we're always competing, trying to like, you know, like get better, make each other better. And you know, I think that was just like a culture that produced like a lot of like, not only just like good stats, but also just like a brotherhood that's going to last for a very long time. And, I just think like being able to like go to a school like that has really helped me like in my transition to college, because I think it was like definitely like the coaches and the teammates really were a similar like atmosphere that we have at Northwestern.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounded kind of familiar the way you were describing it. It sounds a little bit like the team you're part of now. You had a bunch of FBS offers, others in the Big Ten. What led you to Evanston?
You know, I just think Northwestern, like, it was just, like, it's the best combination of being able to play Big Ten football, but also, you know, get, like, that world-class degree. But I also just, like, when I met the guys, like, on the official visit, you know, I could definitely tell, like, the locker room, like, there was, like, I felt like I fit in, like, with, like, the guys here. Like, I felt like, you know, there's, like, a different, like, you know, like, the guys here, they're all, like, goal-driven, like, both, like, football and also in life. And I think that's just like something that I wanted to be a part of. And like, you know, like the coaches here are awesome. I just think that's like, it was just a great culture that I want to be a part of.
Well, you're sitting here after four straight victories, heading to Nebraska this week. How much do you think it helped to get that victory at Penn State as you go into another traditionally really tough venue for visiting teams out in Lincoln?
You know, I definitely think it was a very important win for us to get it on that on the road trip and like such a like amazing stadium that Penn State has. And, you know, like Nebraska, I know their venue is awesome. Like their fans are awesome. So it's, I think like being able to go to Penn State a few weeks ago is definitely something that like helped prepare us like for this like loud, like a violent environment that we're going to be playing in. And, you know, I just think like that's like given us a sense of confidence that like we know like we can go in and do this.
Yeah, well, it's much different than playing at Northwestern Medicine Field, but it looks like that's been a lot of fun for you guys.
Yeah. Northwest, like, it was an awesome setup, you know, being right on the lake. It was just like something like it's like very unique for college football. And I think like all the guys like loved like being able to play on campus and just like, you know, it just felt like we were right at home.
Do you remember much about going into Nebraska 2 years ago?
Oh yeah, for sure. That was, I think that was my first away. Yeah. That was my first away trip, that I played in my freshman year. And I just remember looking up and I was like, wow, like this stadium is awesome. Like the fans were so loud. Like it was an awesome venue for sure.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere, no question. Michael, listen, I appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on with us today. And we'll see you in Lincoln on Saturday. Good luck against the Cornhuskers.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dan, you mentioned it earlier, Dylan Raiola, the quarterback, sophomore quarterback for Nebraska, had a tremendous freshman year. And you look at the numbers he's put up this year. He's thrown for almost 1,800 yards, 16 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. But last week against Minnesota, he was sacked 9 times, and Nebraska was held to a pair of field goals in a 24-6 loss. So, you know, they were off to a 5-1 start. I think this one kind of caught their fans by surprise. I think there's a lot of, I guess, nervous fans out in Lincoln awaiting the Wildcats this week. And look, I mean, you're not going to get 9 sacks every week, but certainly they've got some issues now. They also had trouble in that game against Minnesota, not just giving up the sacks, but they only managed 36 yards rushing. And, of course, some of that had to do with the 9 sacks.
Right, because in college, the sacks count against
the kids. Yardage comes off.
Yeah, the rushing yardage. But yeah, you know, Coach Rule is a great coach, and they have a great coaching staff. I'm sure they're going to spend a lot of time starting to try to shore that up. But it's clearly a weakness, right? And Raiola, while he's a great quarterback, he does like to hold the ball at times. So that could be a reason for some of those sacks as well. But yeah, you know, again, you look at this team, Nebraska's super talented, but they haven't really been able to get over the hump with, you know, signature wins late in the season, right? So whether it's Coach Rule or otherwise, they've typically the last couple of years fallen off towards the back half of the year. So I'm sure their fans are nervous, and I'm sure that also lives in the players' heads a little bit, right? So I think, you know, if Northwestern can come in, dominate the line of scrimmage, run the ball, get a couple of sacks, like that doubt's going to start to creep in. And again, you know, Memorial Stadium's a great place to play, as you know, but you know, if you can run the ball, that crowd gets out of the game pretty quickly, right? They're going to get up on third down and when the black shirts make plays. But, you know, if you can hold them and play good defense and run the ball and take them out of the game, it just becomes another atmosphere to potentially get a road win in.
Yeah, you played there. You won there. I mean, it's doable. And but what it's really a great atmosphere for college football. And, you know, I think the Wildcats having won at Penn State, you know, they've got a taste of it, right?
Agreed. Yeah. There's not many tougher environments than Penn State. You know, Nebraska is certainly up there. But it's just a fun place to play, right? They value Cornhusker football, you know, so much in Lincoln, and everybody's so kind and grateful that the teams are there and the players are there. And, But don't be mistaken. They're going to get loud and they're going to root very hard for the Cornhuskers, especially if they get it going. So yeah, it's just a destination spot for college football, and it's a lot of fun, and they continue to sell out every game. But Northwestern's there to take care of business, and if they can survive Happy Valley, they can survive Lincoln.
Yeah, you know, they're very friendly there. They always, hey, welcome to Lincoln. Good luck today. As soon as they get in that stadium, that's the last thing that they're hoping for is good luck to the visiting team. But it's
booing you, but they're certainly not booing you.
Exactly. Yeah. Dan, thanks. It should be a fun one Saturday, 11 o'clock kickoff at Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll have it on WGN Radio with our pregame 10:30 Central Time on Saturday. And we look forward to speaking to you then and seeing if the Wildcats can pick up that sixth win and become bowl eligible and then get a bye week. So the schedule sets up nicely. Dan, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me. Have a safe trip out there and bring home a win.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks to Michael Kilbane for jumping on with us. Thanks to our producer, as always, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Edit, and we'll talk to you again next week.